Hey, hello, beautiful people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure is always when I went to my own
farm. I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not try.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So no. You could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharonita Hosa.
Hey, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. Now, if you're looking for the best place to get access to quality information, then I can assure you that you are at the right place as we invite experts to share the happenings, opportunities, and a lot more so you can benefit in any area of agriculture you're in. Now, I believe that we understand how crucial it is for us to achieve food security in Africa. And for us to say that we are really food secure then, we must really boast and say that at all times, the populace has the physical, economic, and social access to enough food. Now, not just food, but it has to have that quality we are looking for, that nutritional value that we need to have in food for us to get good health and well-being. Now, it gets very tricky, you know. We want to be food secure in Africa, and even though we have the capacity to be food secure, there is still a drawback, and we cannot help but ask the question, how can we really boost our food system? Now, that is the reason why we are here today. Is technology the way forward? Let's find out. On this note, join me as I may welcome my guest for today's show, Shedrack Kubiani. Hey, a prominent figure in the agricultural sector. Hello, Shedrack. Thank you so much for joining my favorite podcast show. Yes, it is my favorite, whether anybody likes it or not. Thank you for joining the show today. How are you doing?
That is brilliant. That's brilliant. That makes the two of us on our family dinner table. The podcast has been a part and parcel of our dinner conversations. And no doubt across the African region, the podcast is beginning to be part and parcel of the food or dinner conversation. Let's Talk Agriculture. Great to be here. And greetings to the audiences and listeners. Your extended part of the family becomes our extended part of the family. Great to be here. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And of course, we are a family in this space. I mean, we have to work together to transform the agricultural sector. So what better way to do it if not to team up and be families, neighbors, you know, just to ensure that we are able to transform the agricultural sector. I like that mindset.
Indeed.
I like it too. I think
definitely. You know, there's that African proverbs that it says it takes a village to raise an African child. Mm-hmm. I think it takes many villages to feed that African child.
Of course, yes, I think so too. I mean, yes. We all have a role to play. So let's come together and start doing something. And I can see so many people coming together, and that is the reason why we have here a very prominent figure when it comes to the agritech sector. So, of course, I'm very pleased to have you here today to share your experience with us. I mean, that is what the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast is all about. So thank you so much once again for joining the show.
Thank you kindly. The pleasure is all mine. Much appreciated for creating this dinner table where Africa can have a conversation within itself and beyond.
Of course. Just wait for what is coming. We have so much coming for this space, and I can't wait to push it out. But hey, that's not what we're talking about today. Just to get the ball rolling, please tell us a little bit about you. I mean, what got you into the agricultural sector? How has it been so far in the ag space? Just tell us something. I'm very sure my audience are very curious as well.
Most certainly. Despite being among the pace-setting leaders in the tech space, in blockchain, in agri-tech, what might be lesser known to most audiences until now is that I'm actually a third-generation farmer, meaning I was actually raised by two generations of highly industrious farming women. That will be my late grandmom, who was actually farming coffee right here, coffee beans right here in South Africa, which is really a path less traveled. Coffee is mainly associated with the East Africa basin and elsewhere in the world. But right here, she was a pioneer of note. She was farming Africa in the heart of South Africa. She was farming coffee beans in the heart of South Africa. My mom was lesser adventurous, but as equally industrious. So her crop of choice was a variety of what do you call it, daily staple foods, such as your maize, your cabbages, tomatoes, and those items that are really the obvious culprits at most dinner tables across the region. And of course, myself, for most of my childhood, I actually lived off the ground. I was among the last generation in my village that lived 95% of the ground. So we didn't go to the shops much. If I was eating a chicken that night, it's because this chicken really had me chasing it like Usain Bolt. That's how it ended up on my dinner table. There was very little mystery there. There was very little mystery. I had to actually source my food within a minute to 5 minutes from my dinner table. So it's talking about where food comes from. Fast forward to later in life, where I spent a bit of time in corporate, in industry. Then I did a few fun stuff in terms of management consulting, scaling businesses. And one of those scaling opportunities is what led us into agri-tech, where we are now utilizing blockchain to bring the transparencies that are necessary within the agri-landscape so that the big boys club can make some room for smallholder farmers. So that's how I actually ended up in agri-tech. A son of a farmer is now having a homecoming experience helping to rethink Africa's agri-landscape.
Wonderful. I mean, that's really amazing to think that we are still hearing more people saying they started from they have an agricultural background, really. And many of us, we dragged our legs into agriculture.
Oh yes, it is deemed to be unattractive. If you're to look at the president of the Africa Development Bank, His Excellency Akinwumi Adesina. I believe he was once the agriculture minister in Nigeria, and he brought some strategic reforms. Him and his colleagues in that space, they often lament how agriculture itself appears to be the unattractive or the unwanted child of industry, where particularly millennials and generations Z's, or the bond freeze, they seem to really find it very unattractive, and they label it as hard labor and very unattractive labor, which is quite unfortunate. So platforms like this one, where we can engage around Let's Talk Agriculture, hopefully we are doing the joint heavy lifting to really do away with some myths and some ill-conceived assumptions, because a food-secure Africa is the Africa we want.
Of course, of course. I mean, we have to really start putting it out to let people know that agriculture is really attractive. Yes, I mean, this is something that we've been pushing out. I think we've had about 2 episodes to really push out the word saying, hey, we don't want you thinking that agriculture is not attractive or it is not profitable. Absolutely. I mean, we've gone past that. This is a point where you come together, where you come into the agricultural sector and do something very creative. I mean, use your science. Absolutely. I mean, use your creativity and do something. Now we need farm management tools, we need drones, we need very beautiful technology that could help us to transform the agricultural sector. Now, that is where you need to go to, right? You don't necessarily have to go to the farm anymore. And that's what we're trying to let them know. I mean, I'm also a youth, right? So
yes,
we are the future.
That makes sense, yes.
We are the
Definitely.
Future.
We are the hope. We are the future, and we are the hope for the continent. I think most people, they make that assumption. If you were to look at agriculture as an extreme sport, think about the Olympics. One athlete can take the entire 4 years just to be able to have an opportunity to compete in that 10-second race, in that 20-second race, or whatever activity. So most eyes are on the athlete. However, there is an entire ecosystem of a team dynamic, from coaching to sports science to dietitian. There's just a whole lot. One sports person could actually have a team of 20 or 30. So even with agriculture, a similar assumption applies. The athlete in this case is mainly the farmer, but the farmer doesn't travel alone. I mean, a commercial farmer by South African standards is anyone with anywhere between 20 to 30 workers during silent seasons, and during peak seasons, it will be anyone with 70 to 100, farming human capital. So we all look at the farmer, but there's an entire team dynamic. So yes, there is room for drones, there's room for agritech, there's room for farm management, there's room for biosecurity, that will be the protection of the livestock. There's just an entire room, agronomy, and just a whole lot of other adjacent and supporting functions that are as equally, if not more important, than just the caption of farming itself, which, by the way, in its truest sense, is not a one-man game, but it's an extreme sport. It's a team sport.
I agree. It is actually a team sport. We all have a role to play. So I keep telling young people, when I hear them saying, oh, agriculture is unprofitable, listen, it's not unprofitable. You just haven't gone in with the right mindset. You know, many young people go in to say, I want to make money out of this. They see agriculture as a get-rich-quick scheme, right? And that is not the mindset going. I mean, imagine somebody, you have no idea about poultry farming. You have no idea about fish farming. And then you just go right in and you want to start. I mean, did you bother to learn anything about it? So, and then it fails. And then you're saying, oh, agriculture is unprofitable, I can't do this and that. So we're trying to change all of that narrative. Agriculture is profitable, but what should you do?
Certainly.
You have to get a good foundational knowledge of agribusiness. You need to understand before you get into it. I mean, that applies to business, right?
Definitely.
You don't necessarily have to start something without not knowing it.
One has to do their homework, irrespective of the task at hand, whether someone is heading into software engineering, coding, or someone is heading into producing the stable diet that will keep Africa alive. One has to do their homework. And also one has to look beyond temporary trends, and one has to look beyond whatever is trending on timelines at the moment. One has to think of it as a long-term game. Who knows? Maybe some of the audiences may be contemplating medical sciences. They could actually be an agri-vet of sorts. So there's just so much that is concentrated on a farm. Maybe there might even be a climatologist who could be utilizing data science in order to project or to chart out the seasons ahead, and there could be a go-to for an entire farming community in order to help shape the Africa we want, which is a food secure Africa.
Of course. I mean, agriculture presents diverse opportunities for everyone. You just have to look for it, and I mean, you just have to find it. There are opportunities out
Absolutely.
There. There are opportunities.
Definitely. Absolutely.
But then again, back to food security now. What can you say? I know I mentioned that there are some drawbacks to achieving food security, but I can't really point that, okay, I'm entirely sure of what the drawbacks are. So, I mean, that's the reason why we have you here anyway. My job is to push up what you said.
The pleasure is all mine. Let's go create a picture that's going to bring clarity to the audiences and clarity to the continent at large, and of course, our neighbors far off elsewhere in Europe and other parts of the world. There are three key pillars that one has to bear in mind when it comes to food security, particularly from an African standpoint. And those three pillars, just from a top level, we must consider: one, productivity; number two, accessibility; and of course, accessibility goes hand in hand with availability. Mm-hmm. And third, but not least, we have to keep in mind sustainability. Mm-hmm. And if I circle back to productivity, We have a very unfortunate situation here on the continent of Africa. We are home to 65 to 70% of the global arable land. Now, that right there should be counting in our favor. And just hold on a moment, our dear audiences, so that I mention the next item that should also be counting in our favor. Africa is home to 40 million farmers. And indeed, agricultural sector on the continent, it is responsible for more than 60% of jobs or more than 60% of gainful employment. So with all these factors counting in our favor within the productivity scope, you would think that we need to be smiling all the way to the bank. But unfortunately, we are not. I mean, here is a baseline negatives that are not really going in our favor. Our food import bill here in Africa, and once again, I'm referencing His Excellency President Adesina of the Africa Development Bank, who lamented recently to say, listen, we can't have a scenario where, despite being home to 65% arable land in the globe, our food import bill is increasing annually at an alarming rate. Some are benchmarking it that it's sitting at 100 billion a year. Others are saying it's going to pass the 100 billion a year by 2025. But either way, we are racing in the wrong direction in terms of over-reliance on our neighbors. I'm sure when the good book said, love your neighbor, it didn't mean that you must lean entirely on your neighbor in terms of food dependency, where you are food insecure. So we are very food insecure when one considers that despite the arable land positive, the negative is that our food grocery import bill is swelling. And of course, we also have a scenario of very low yield from these African farmers, where from those 40 million, about 36 million to 37 million of them are actually smallholder farmers. If there's one thing Africa needs to do away with, is we need to do away with smallness. We need to ensure that we scale our smallholder farmers into at least semi-commercial, if not full-scale commercial, because while our smallholder farmers are remaining small, our population is anything but small. I'll be touching on that later, but we are actually heading towards a scenario where by 2035, Africa's population is going to be passing the 2 billion, citizen mark. But more on that later. Let me touch on the second pillar, accessibility. If you were to consider how I grew up living off the ground and where food towards my dinner table came from within a 5-minute radius, and I was among the last of the sustenance farmers in my village, it becomes a weird picture today where not only are we not farming our food in the urban centers or the cities, but some of the city children don't actually are ill-advised, or they ill-assume that milk comes from the grocery stores. They do not know that milk actually comes from a cattle. There's a cattle upstream in the value chain, where else they're just consuming milk that always comes out of the cotton. So our levels of ignorance needs to really be done away with. Accessibility, not just to the food, but accessibility to knowledge. An example that I can make, I've got a number of applications outside of the eFarmer app. I've got a number of applications as a consumer this time, not an industry leader, where I can really source some groceries and ingredients. It will take me 15 minutes. Even during this call, I could grab my other phone and source perhaps ingredients to make myself an Italian dish, maybe one of those creamy pastas. Those ingredients will be here at my office within 15 minutes. But if I try to look for ingredients to make myself a goosey or okra or jollof rice, being here in South Africa, I might need a treasure map and lots of prayers to try and source those within an app or within reach. I'll have to really, really travel hard. But yet I'm in Africa. Why are these things not accessible? Of course, that might be considered more on the luxury end, but even staple diet is proving to not be accessible to the people that need it most. And the last but not least pillar, sustainability. We need to increase our production capacity. in order to ensure that our farmers are not just farming, but they're farming efficiently, and they are seeing the high yields that the future Africa would need for us to become a self-sustaining continent that does not only trade within itself, but also farm amongst itself.
Thank you for sharing that. I do agree that we should support the smallholder farmers. I mean, to ensure that they can actually move away from small farming down to commercial farming. I mean, smallholder farmers are major contributors, and of course, they help us to really grow the agricultural sector. But then again, have you thought about the fact that many of these farmers that are practicing small-scale farming probably are content with where they are? Because sometimes I feel like most people are content with where they are. They're just comfortable with just producing at a small scale. So I don't know what your thoughts are, because I've experienced it actually.
Yeah. That is actually quite a good a good aspect to touch on. However, in our contentment, you know, one of the skills that I was taught farming back home was how to, I used to actually rear chickens. It's one of the things. I would do poultry, and I'll do crops as well on behalf of my mom. So think of me as the little farm manager who was like from the age of 5 until the age of 15. I was busy around my mom's smallholder farm. But one of the things that she taught me that is relevant to your question is that I often had to train my senses to be on the lookout for two things that could be a threat to crops or even to our poultry environment. The first one is a hawk. If there is a hawk in the sky, if I don't see it and therefore get the chickens to safety, therefore I run the risk of that hawk pouncing, aiming and pouncing and lifting off a chick, or even, God forbid, the mother hen itself. So I had to look out for the hawk. And I'm going to tell you my motivation for the smallholder farmer who might have tuned in, which I expect them to have at this time. The second threat that I had to train my senses to be conscious of at all times is to always be able to observe the gathering clouds above my head, you see? Are those good clouds that come bearing gifts such as good rain that the crops need? Or is that some wicked clouds that have got a wicked agenda, meaning they could bring a storm or they could bring hail damage and things like that, in which case I need to really, really mobilize into action. So, dear smallholder farmer, if you are listening to this conversation between experts, my word to you is that we are not here for ourselves. There are some clouds, there are some wicked clouds gathering out there, which by 2035, Africa's population would have gone over the 2 billion mouths to feed. So those 2 billion mouths to feed, just like how we have to not be comfortable when our child is now about to reach either a school going age or is about to reach a university going age. We don't go like, no, we are all content with our income. We start finding a way to win, as one of my mentors often tells me. So finding a way to win means that we have to create a legacy where however small or mid-sized input we have, we can remain in our comfort zone. Number one, by not passing on the farming legacy, by not passing on the indigenous insights. And secondly, we can't restrict smallholder farming to just feeding the household and using a bit of a surplus to send it to the market. No, we have to realize that we have an obligation to feed the village, maybe not the nation, maybe not the continent, but if every smallholder farmer can focus on satisfying the food demand in their corner of the village that is about to undergo population explosion, then not only will that smallholder farmer face a better financial future, but they'll also see their village collectively facing a food secure future. So in a nutshell on this point, I'm saying, dear smallholder farmer, it's great to be content. It's great to be satisfied with your portion or your lot in life. But remember, most of us, irregardless of your religious beliefs, most of us are to exist for a bigger purpose, whether that purpose is to leave our household world in a better financial position than we were. I'll give you an example. Smallholder farmers today, they are part and parcel of the 811 million people that go to bed hungry. I'm sure the smallholder farmers are really freaked out about that situation. Hence, farming efficiencies must come in so that there can be a better projecting of their income and a better income protection. We won't speak income protection if we don't speak improvements of our farming efficiencies, farming operations, including financial inclusion, meaning can the smallholder farmer evolve beyond farming in their backyard where the land is not title deeded or is not mortgaged, and get to a point where the land can have a bankable collateral in the form of title deed. So this is a number of hoops that the smallholder farmer has to jump over in order to live not just their household, but their village or city neighborhood in a much better financially included position than in their day. So whether our smallholder farming community will pick up this this clip or this discussion and really move more towards formalization and also just improving their methodologies, or they're going to say, well, and shrug and say, that's not for me. I just farm to feed my tummy and feed my modest family. It will be up to them, but I appeal to them. I'm not instructing them. I really am almost on my knees right now and saying, dear smallholder farmer, if your farm was feeding 100 in 2023, realize that 2035 is not so far away. Actually, my family and I, we count Saturdays. So 2035 is only 604 Saturdays away. So by 604 Saturdays away, we are hoping, fingers crossed and prayers abundant, that you will move beyond feeding 100 to at least feeding 1,000. Because the reality is, the clouds are gathering, the hawk is looming above our heads. We are about to have a non-sustainable 2 billion mouths to feed. So if we all do our heavy lifting in our part of Africa, maybe the Africa we want will materialize in our lifetime.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So I think that there's a lot of work to be done. So it's more about connecting with them directly, because trust me, a lot of them are really just comfortable with where they are. Why I'm saying this is mainly because I was opportunity to meet with some farmers in a particular village. And from my interaction with them, I realized that they were just comfortable with doing the small, making the small sale that they were making. And to think that I wanted to come with something bigger, you know, and I'm like, okay, let's do this. Yep. I have this. I will probably want you to sell this ogbono for me in bags, you know. And up to now, they've not given me the vibes that I need. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Don't you want to sell in large quantity? Shouldn't that be what you should look out for?
Yep. But
no. They're saying, this is the amount I can do. This is, but this thing is abundant around you, so you do not necessarily have to put in so much, right? I'm just saying, do this and earn more for yourself. Push it outside. But then that was not the response. So I just concluded that many are really comfortable where they are. And so there are some things you can't really change, but you can only do the best you can, really. And I think that's what we're doing.
That is really heartbreaking. But I'm hoping that from the farmers that you addressed and you appealed to their common sense, or you appealed to their heart, hopefully in future podcast conversations, we will hear you update us and say, you know what? One or two actually step forward and grab the challenge. Maybe not the entire farming community, maybe not the entire village, but I'm really praying that in future engagements, as we continue talking agriculture, that some of them will really begin to step forward. Because think about it. Across sub-Sahara Africa alone, there is more than 44 million micro and small to medium enterprises. 44 million. But if you were to ask, according to a recent McKinsey study, Only 400 companies on African soil make an annual revenue of more than $1 billion. And while it's not about their money, income at that level gives one options. Income at that level equals financial security for households, equals jobs, job creation, and a whole lot of things. And I think while on this point, in line with your visit to the village, to try and rally the smallholder farmers to maybe check out of their comfort zone. In keeping with that, we have to keep in mind that Africa is home to business. Whether you're in Kenya, whether you're in Nigeria, whether you're in South Africa, Africa is alive with entrepreneurial, innovative spirit. We have resilience. We can start businesses just like that. Mm-hmm. But where Africa is facing a huge deficit, we are not producing industrialists at the level that we need them in order to see a food secure Africa, or even a financially secure Africa, one that does not rely on borrowing from the likes of the IMF, that is relying on borrowing from the likes of the World Bank. We love them, we appreciate them, but we cannot really, really face a future where we are an over-indebted Africa. And mm-hmm. to get out of debt and things like that, we have to get our financial security right, get our food security right, and we need way more than 400 companies that are employing or even realizing revenue at that age. So hopefully, like a voice in the wilderness, these discussions that we are having around this particular Let's Talk Agriculture dinner table will somehow spark a resonating domino effect across other dinner tables, including those that are being held by our small holder to semi-commercial farmers, that they will rethink that, wait a minute, farming is never meant to be a hand-to-mouth operation. It can really become a scalable, commercial-size enterprise. And when they do that, there is words of one of our leaders within this space, Professor Ndubuisi. He often says that Africa rises when its leaders rise. So unless we get to rise beyond our comfort zone of settling for minimal or settling for little, and we venture out to that promised land called the land of more than enough, then unfortunately we may leave our current generation or our incoming generation in a much worse position than we were ourselves. Hopefully, that's not the Africa we will realize. Hopefully, we'll see more industrialists, more visionaries, and more Dangotes will enter the space in a much swifter and a multiplier effect than we saw in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really praise you. I mean, we do not want the incoming generation to be left with all the shit that we should have actually stopped at the back. So we do not want them Absolutely. To come and face so many challenges. And that is why we are still Definitely. Trying to push them into the direction of technology, right? Because we know that technology has a role to play in transforming the agricultural sector, in boosting up of our food security. So what do you really think technology can do from your own perspective? I mean, considering you are in the agri-tech space, so what can you really say as a role technology can play to boost our food system?
Most definitely. There are some strategic select roles that technology can play alongside our industrious farmers, alongside our smallholder farmers, or even commercial scale farmers in order to produce a food secure future for Africa. So technology in that sense is really a fellow colleague rather than a foreign object on the farm. And technology, first and foremost, I've already touched on productivity. Technology can assist our African farming community to realize higher yields and much better productivity. Africa is known for its humanity and resilience. We also call it Ubuntu in South Africa, meaning I am because we are. We are known for such across Africa, not just SA. However, we also are known as Africans to make a little to go a long way, to really weather the storms and remain standing. However, technology, by way of the sharing of farm equipment, the sharing of insightful knowledge, which is what we are doing on this podcast. Remember, dear audiences, we are talking agriculture. So hopefully we won't just do a Let's Talk Agriculture on the podcast itself, but it will ignite fires out there so that the sharing of our knowledge base of what technology can do can be out there. And of course, technology will also help to bring efficiencies around our pack houses, our processing plants, so that we are seeing lesser and lesser food waste. Nigeria, South Africa, and Kenya, we share together in those championships that are regrettable of seeing our food post-harvest losses in terms of food waste. It's sitting at anywhere between 40 to 50%. So how is it that not only are we food insecure as Africa at the moment, but we are also seeing the food that we are harvesting become wasted? I mean, we've got parts of Africa that do not have established cold chains. So at an infrastructure level, there are some infrastructure gaps that have to be addressed regionally. So, and also technology can also enable seamless collective bargaining. I'll give you an example, pardon me. 100 farmers can now come together within an application like the eFarmer app, for which I am the CEO and co-founder, and other similar applications across Africa, whereby they can group together and be able to be trained and improve their knowledge, and group together and be able to supply a particular multinational or a particular enterprise that is seeking to source from them. But maybe they cannot provide minimum order quantities and such. And maybe they don't have the right equipment, or they don't have the right collateral at the bank to put up in order to afford that equipment. But 100 farmers on a platform like eFarmer can lift together as they rise. So, and also with blockchain, which is our specialty area in supply chain and technology, blockchain brings about supply chain transparencies, meaning, dear audience, when you're going to have dinner tonight, do you know where your dinner came from? Do you know whether that chicken came from somewhere within Nigeria, or it was imported from outside Nigeria? Do you know what the shelf life of that chicken has been since it has been in the fridge? Do you know where your crops came from? Do you know what type of inputs or types of types of pesticides that went into that, which might be that might gift you with the unwanted gift of disease causing pesticides? You don't know. So that's why technologies like blockchain, they bulletproof the truth as to following that crop from a point of origin or provenance right all the way, to ensure that there are no surprises along the way, especially in transit, in storage, and even at the crop plucking. And of course, smart contracts, some of the things that cause farmers to really nearly be out of business is this thing of having to collect on debts, this thing of having to wait for suppliers to pay, having to wait even for your client, waiting for your client to pay. But things like smart contract, automate trade and automate transactions without going into technical details. A smart contract means if produce leaves my hand and goes towards Sharon's hand, once she's happy with the produce, I won't even have to call and say, dear Sharon, please remember to make payment. But no, with smart contract being part of that farming transaction, the smart contract will automate the payment. So those, dear audiences, are some of the specific tech touch points where technology can become a colleague, not a foreigner on the farm, from sharing of equipment, from bringing efficiencies in the pack house, and also from bringing about the cold chain or transit efficiencies, to even improving the rate at which we are picking the fruits if we are doing fruit picking, or the rate at which we are processing the food, the fruit if we are dealing with packaging vegetables. Technology is our friend. It's not our enemy here to take jobs. It's here to really alleviate pressure and be the colleague on the farm to help us do the joint heavy lifting.
Indeed. And technology is not here to take anyone's job. I keep saying it.
Please never tire. Please never tire in saying it.
It is not here to take anyone's job. I mean, I'm really so pleased with the blockchain technology. I think it makes everything very smooth for us. In one of my previous episodes, we talked about blockchain technology and, of course, with employment. So people could know that because there was this some controversy going around, oh, technology is going to take my job and all of this. So we keep pushing it out and letting people know, no, technology is not taking your job. Even on my last episode with Femi, we talked about drone technology. So we had to still push out that message again to let people know that technology cannot take your job. It would only take your job if you decide not to go with the trend, right? You have to keep up.
That is so true.
You have to keep up. Because if you can keep up, then, I mean, technology is change. I mean, the change is constant. So things will continue changing.
Absolutely.
The agriculture
sector. I think in that regard, I think in that regard, farming is like approaching the dance floor. You always have to keep your dance shoes nearby and keep them on you, or else you might mistakenly have your toes being trampled upon. So the dance shoes, meaning refining your knowledge, always being aware of your position on the dance floor. So yes, trade and farming is like dance. You've got to know what the trends are, what the requirements of the market are, and hence it can be left within the confines of small holding. It can be held back within those four walls. Farming has to evolve out of that and become a fully fledged commercial enterprise that is sensitive to market trends, market dynamics, and changing market forces. So let's keep our dance shoes on if we see farming as a dance floor.
Of course, we are keeping our dance shoes on. I don't know about any other person, but I am.
Absolutely. That makes all of us.
Of course, you did mention the e-farmer app. So tell me, how can farmers and small business owners utilize the e-farmer app for their business growth? Because of course, as technologies emerge, right, it has to offer solutions, right? So what can the e-farmer app do for businesses to ensure they grow in the agriculture sector?
Most definitely. You know, in the olden days, they'll say, be on the lookout. This movie is coming to a cinema near you. But we don't have cinemas that much anymore. So I'll just say, be on the lookout, dear farmer. Be on the lookout, dear consumer. E-farmer is coming to a cinema near you, meaning it's coming to a phone near you. We'll be rolling out across the continent, having launched just a few weeks ago. So there's three things that we focus on as e-farmer. The first one is access to market. The second one is product quality or quality assurance. And the third one is business sustainability. On that first pillar of focus, which is access to market, through the marketplace or the e-commerce marketplace that eFarmer is, via a mobile application that is downloadable at the moment, we enable farmers to directly connect with buyers, particularly commercial buyers and consumers, and therefore eliminating the need for unnecessary intermediaries or too many middlemen that put an inflation on each transaction. So that's the first part. We simplify the life of farmers and we bring consumers for their convenience in the room by connecting farmers to commercial buyers and consumers. Second part, product quality. Farmers can achieve product quality assurance much cheaper and quicker through the e-farmer quality assurance environment. And of course, farmers can also use the application to manage their processes within the farm, and even leaning more towards the pack house and processing operation to ensure a consistency in their farming output. There's nothing as boring as enjoying crops from a farmer today, but a week later, it's like the crops were harvested from a totally different farm. So consumers need quality, consumers need consistency, hence our quality assuring capacity. Last but not least, business sustainability. We spoke a lot earlier on why smallholder farmers need to consider taking a leap of faith across the great chasm to start growing. Business sustainability means that farmers can now manage their inventory, can manage their revenue and can manage their order management within this this tool that the eFarma app enables, that serves as proof of trade to ensure that they are financially included. There's a lot of sustainable development goals conversations that speak about farmers, African farmers must be financially included. So the eFarma app is touching on that financial inclusion and food security for the farming household. There's nothing as heartbreaking as when I enjoy my dinner sometimes outside of the eFarma app. If I didn't fetch my produce from there, I start wondering, is the farmer on the other side of this dinner who actually labored for days, if not weeks, for me to have this dinner, are they hungry tonight? So we can't have hungry farmers anymore. We can't have farmers that are receiving a pittance in terms of revenue or pricing for their produce. We can't have farmers that join, that continue to join the 811 million global citizens that go to bed hungry. We have to remove as many farmers from there. Hence, the eFarma app brings the access to markets, the product quality assurance, and to sustain the business via financial inclusion or records that you can basically take to the bank.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Guys, you've heard everything. I mean, so many wonderful solutions for your business. Take advantage of technology when you say it, because trust me, it is here to just make your life easy. All you have to do is take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. You have the permission to take advantage of it. Thank you
absolutely.
Thank you so much once again. We have come to the end of today's episode. I really hope that you learn from this podcast and you're able to share this episode with your colleagues, with your loved ones, I mean, with your business partners, because this is really an insightful episode that no one should miss. I mean, no one should miss it. So thank you so much, guys. Thank you, our guests for today. I really appreciate you once again. I really love appreciating my guests because, I mean,
it is such
not
a,
easy
it is such
to
a
have.
And I must thank you. I must thank you because Let's Talk Agriculture is a resource that I would recommend to those listening now to not only share it, but to also frequent it, even as the episodes are growing, because to me and my family, Let's Talk Agriculture is more than a podcast. It's a dinner table that we should frequent as often as we can. And I'll encourage the same for listeners across Africa, the diaspora, and other parts of the world.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I mean, guys, we have over 60 episodes here. So please refer back to our previous episode. I assure you, you learned a lot. There's so many experts that we've had on the show from different sectors, from the FAO to the International Seed Treaty to MIDA. I mean, so many. I can't even remember so many episodes, so many companies, Harvest Plus, GIZ, AFEX. I mean, did we have a GIZ? But really, we've had so many podcast episodes that you can benefit from. So please do check it out. And of course, follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn. Please keep in touch with us, subscribe, and trust me, you're going to benefit so much from us. Don't forget that we are an agriculture public relations and communications firm. So if you'd like to get visibility for your brand, please do reach out to us. I'm very, very particular about your business. I'm very much interested about your growth. So please do reach out to us. Send an email to hello@letstalkagriculture.com.